A lot of time spent on one of your measures. It is now moving ahead in the process. In a short definition, deals with discovery.
Yep, so Senate Bill 224 is a civil procedure reform bill. What that basically means is the majority of the life of a lawsuit is discovery, what we call discovery. And that's where the parties on each side of the case discover the facts that are going to support their position in the case. Oftentimes, 75 to 80% of the amount of time spent in a lawsuit is on discovery. And as a result, about 75 to 80% of the costs associated with a lawsuit is focused on discovery. And so what this bill does is it puts presumed limits on the amount of discovery that each of the parties, regardless of which side of the case they're on, can get. And what this will do is it will move lawsuits along more quickly. It will make sure that they get resolved faster and that they're done at cheaper costs, which I think is important for everybody, whether you're a plaintiff who's been injured and you're needing compensation. It'll make sure that you get it faster. If you're a business or an individual who's involved in a frivolous lawsuit, it will ensure that you won't have large mounting legal bills that you have to contend with. So this is a huge win. It was a bill that was not without controversy whenever we brought it up. We had a filibuster on the bill that went until 2 a.m., but ultimately we were able to reach a bipartisan solution to the bill that ended up keeping most of the provisions that I wanted in the bill in it. And I think this is going to be good for the state. It's going to be good for attracting businesses to our state because it improves our litigation environment. And most importantly, it's going to make sure that we're relieving the stress and strain on our courts of a clogged legal system.
Another tort measure that's now on its way to the governor's desk that you didn't sponsor but had a large role in helping to get where it is right now, and that's Senate Bill 7, which deals with joinder and venue.
Yep, venue joinder was a bill that was probably the first extended filibuster that we had. There's kind of a theme here. If it's a tort reform bill, you're going to have a filibuster. And what that bill did in short is it said that parties are not allowed to file their lawsuit in a particular jurisdiction just because another person files there. So what was happening is you would have one person who lived, for example, in the city of St. Louis, who was injured in the city of St. Louis, and then you'd have a bunch of non-St. Louis residents, including people from outside of the state, who would join in that lawsuit and bring it in St. Louis. And what was happening is St. Louis was becoming America's courtroom, and that's not right. We don't want a situation where, you know, out-of-state plaintiffs are bringing their lawsuits and using our tax dollars to litigate their cases. They need to be bringing those in their own state and states where they were injured. And so we were able to close that loophole. The governor tweeted out that he's looking forward to signing that bill. It's the first tort reform bill that passed out of the House and Senate. So that one is headed to the governor's desk. And by all indications from the governor's Twitter account, he is looking forward to signing it.
You're seeing further success with your joint resolution that would deal with term limits for statewide elected officials.
Yep. So we have, when we've talked about it on prior podcasts, SJR 14, which is a term limits proposal that would apply term limits to all of the statewide elected officials. Currently in Missouri, we have term limits for the governor and the state treasurer and members of the General Assembly, but the other statewide elected officials, the attorney general, the lieutenant governor, the secretary of state, and the state auditor are exempted from those. And so what this does is it brings them in parity with all the other elected officials at the state level who have term limits. So each statewide elected official now gets 2 4-year terms. They can serve for a total of 8 years. You know, one of the things that I heard a lot whenever I was campaigning for this office is that voters don't want people turning into career politicians in Jefferson City. They want people to take their time down here to serve, but then to move on to other things. And so this bill ensures that people are not going to use statewide office to make careers out of politics.
I saw another bill this week with a lot of time spent on it on the floor, and that's Senate Bill 391, which deals with hog farms, essentially.
Yeah, so CAFOs are concentrated animal feeding operations. And basically, in today's day and age, you look at the amount of meat products that are consumed in the United States, the reality is you have to have large corporate farms where there are a lot of animals that are in a concentrated area. And the dispute here was over who is the appropriate person or entity to regulate that. On the one hand, you have, you know, local municipalities and counties that maybe could pass a health ordinance that determines whether or not those farms can exist in a particular area, or have the Department of Natural Resources make that decision. And the Department of Natural Resources, in my view, and the reason that I supported the bill, Department of Natural Resources has the expertise in order to appropriately regulate the types of environmental concerns that are associated with CAFOs, whereas I think local government was really at a disadvantage advantage in terms of the expertise needed to be able to regulate those types of farms. So this was a bill that was supported by the Missouri Farm Bureau. It was supported by all of the various farming groups, the Soybean Association, the Corn Growers Association, the Cattlemen's Association, the Missouri Pork Association. And so this was a priority issue for the ag community. You know, in my district, we've got a lot of agricultural land between the southern part of my district, which is the northern part of Kansas City, and south of St. Joe. That entire area between there is more or less all farmland. So farming is a big business in my district. We also have some large plants that are agricultural plants. We have a large pig processing plant that is up in St. Joe. There's a large soybean processing plant also up in St. Joe. And so agriculture is a big business in my district. And so this was an important bill for the agriculture community and a big win for farmers across Missouri.
So flooding still going on in Missouri, and a concurrent resolution that you've signed on to is hoping to get the Corps of Engineers to reevaluate some of its priorities.
I co-sponsored a resolution that asked the Army Corps to reprioritize flood control as the number one priority for controlling the Missouri River. The Corps' plan used to be that flood control was the number one priority, and then it got moved down the list. And then things like preserving fish and wildlife became one of the top priorities for controlling the flooding of the river. The reality is taxpayers are funding all these levees and are obviously paying for the Corps' existence as a part of the federal government. And in my view, we should be putting taxpayers and people and small business owners first in deciding how we're going to control the river. Fish and wildlife should come second, and a distant second in my view. The notion that we would prioritize fish and wildlife over family farms and small business owners and people's homes in determining how to control the river, to me, makes absolutely no sense. It's kind of federal government at its worst that we would prioritize things that way. And so what our resolution does very simply is it encourages the Corps to reevaluate its flood control policies to make sure that flood control and protecting Missouri citizens and Missouri businesses and Missouri farms be the number one priority as opposed to protecting fish and wildlife.
Speaking of flooding, there's still a state budget to be considered, and it's getting ready for its conference committee report between the Senate and the House, and there is some money in budget for that.
Yep, so one of the priorities for the budget was making sure that we had money set aside to help our districts with the flooding that happened recently in the Missouri River. My district, particularly in St. Joe, was very negatively impacted by the flooding. We had 1,500 people that had to be evacuated from their homes. We had a lot of farmers who were significantly impacted by the flooding, and so what we've done, what we've requested, and what is in the Senate version of the budget is we've set aside $8 million for additional flood relief that will be coming from the state in addition to the money that's coming from the federal government. And so this is just a way to help all of our communities in our district and make sure that, you know, after the devastation of flooding in the Missouri River, that we start to put these communities back to where they were before the flood happened.